الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني للعالمين وقال سبحانه وتعالى إن يمسسكم قرح فقد مس القوم قرح مثله وتلك الأيام نداولها بين الناس وليعلم الله الذين آمنوا ويتخذ منكم شهداء والله لا يحب الظالمين وليمحص الله الذين آمنوا ويمحق الكافرين صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته أجمعين. Our respected brothers, elders, our young friends, our sisters in Islam, inshallah, today I would like to just highlight two points, inshallah, and that will be the gist of the khutbah. Point number one, as we know, we are now going through the season of Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Al-Hajj ashhurum ma'lumat. Hajj is in known specific months. In the early days, people used to prepare to go for Hajj from the month of Shawwal, straight after Ramadan. So Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, and the first 12 days, 13 days of Dhul Hijjah are generally the days of Hajj. Although the specific fulfillment of the obligation of Hajj is only the 5 days that we have, and which is 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And if you continue till the 13th, then also the 13th. I just want to highlight, inshallah, in regards to the importance of Hajj. Because, you know, in our communities, Hajj is right on the back burner. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, a lot of people are punctual in regards to their salat, in regards to sawm in the month of Ramadan, in regards to the almsgiving and the charity and zakat. We are, alhamdulillah, to a certain degree, we are okay. But when it comes to Hajj, people do not realize the importance of performing Hajj. MashaAllah, you know, if you look at the sequence of ibadat, me and you, we adopt a quality of Allah, and that is staying hungry and staying thirsty. In other words, Allah Ta'ala does not need to eat. Allah does not need to drink. So we, in the month of Ramadan, we adopt that quality of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. As we say in the hadith, تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. Adopt the qualities of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So we imitate Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in the sense we don't eat, we don't drink in the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, now that you've imitated me and you've come close to me, now you have the ability to come and retire yourself in the masjid, in the month of Ramadan. And that is the concept of i'tikaf. Because now, mashallah, you retire into the masjid in the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan. Now you have become so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala is now saying, now you have become so close, I invite you to come to my home. Invitation to go to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the concept of Hajj. Khair, inshallah. You will find generally in the books of ahadith as well, first you'll find the mention of salat, and then you'll mention zakat, and then you'll find sawm, and then after that you will find Hajj. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah does not do that. Imam Bukhari in Sahih Bukhari, he flips over the sequence. Imam Bukhari mentions first Kitab al-Salat in Sahih Bukhari, and then he mentions Zakat. Why are they together? Because they are combined together in the Quran. Aqimu al-Salat wa atu al-Zakat. Aqimu al-Salat wa atu al-Zakat. They always mention together in the Quran. Then generally, majority mentions Sawm afterwards. And then you go Hajj. Imam Bukhari flips over the sequence. He mentions Hajj first, and after that he mentions sawm. So Imam Bukhari has done it the other way around. Why? Because there are some ibadat where you have to do something. And then there is one ibadah where you have to do nothing at all. All the ibadat where you have to do something is salat, zakat, and hajj. Where you have to leave something, that is sawm. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah mentions that afterwards. Khair. in regards to the importance of Hajj, the Quran in the fourth juz on the first page, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. There you will find, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. For the sake of Allah, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ, obligated upon the people is to go to the Baytullah if you have the istata'at and the capacity to go. Now you see, this is beautiful. It's so beautiful. The ayat of the Quran is beautiful. Why? Because you've got the word walillahi ala nas. You know, Allah could have said here, hijjul bayt man istata'a ilayhi sabila lana, sorry, ala nas lillah. But he didn't say that. Allah Ta'ala mentions the word lillah right at the beginning. See why? Because, you know, when you read salat, maybe in the beginning you do it for show. But you do it your entire life. You do it every single day. You do it 5 times a week. You do it 7 days a week. You do it 365 days over the course of the entire year. Slowly, 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 it will build ikhlas. Because there is repetition in salat. There is repetition in saum as well, in fasting as well. Because you're fasting 29, 30 days every single year. When it comes to zakat, there is repetition in zakat as well. Because you're going to give it every year. But when it comes to hajj, there's no repetition. That's what they call it, journey of a lifetime. In hajj, there is no repetition. This is why from day one, you have to make sure you are doing it for the sake of Allah. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, lillah, first in the ayat of the Quran. He says, you must make sure when you go for hajj, you're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there is a hadith of the Messenger of Allah salam, where he said, there will come a time upon my ummah where people will come and visit the Ka'batullah. The rich people will come with the intention of holiday. Some people will come with the intention of holiday. Some people will come with the intention of begging and making money. You believe me, people go from our countries back home and they are going to Makkah, Mukarrama, Medina, Munawwara, and it's become a profession where they are begging. This is the prophecy of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu salam. So when it comes to Hajj, you know, it is compulsory, it is something that we should not delay. We should not delay. You see why? Because zindagi ka bilkul koi bharosa nahi hai. There is absolutely no guarantee of life. Rasulullah alayhi salam, the hadith quoted by Imam Muslim from Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anuma, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam said, Allah Ta'ala has obligated hajj upon you. To tum kya karo, usko ada karo and hasten in fulfilling your hajj. When did hajj become compulsory? According to Mulla Ali Qadi rahimahullah, he writes in Mirqad, in Kitab al-Hajj, he says, most probably hajj became obligated in 9 AH. In 9 AH. Now, because there were still non-Muslims in Makkah Mukarramah, that is why in 9 AH, Rasulullah did not go. Although it became obligatory in 9 AH, Rasulullah did not go. But what did Rasulullah do? Bab, Imam Bukhari has mentioned a bab and a chapter in Sahih Bukhari. Bab, Hajju Abi Bakrin. Hajj Abi Bakr. In other words, in 9 AH, as soon as it became obligated, what did Rasulullah do? He sent Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. There were approximately 300 sahaba with Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. And Rasulullah told Sayyidina Abu Bakr, you go and you give the announcement. And what will the announcement be? After this year, no non-Muslim is allowed to stay in Makkah Mukarrama. Why? The following year, Rasulullah was going to perform hajj. And when he will perform a hajj, no non-Muslim is allowed, number one. Number two, no one is allowed to do tawaf of the Ka'batullah unclothed. Because the non-Muslims of, you know, the mushrikeen of Makkah Mukarrama, what did they do? The non-mushrikeen of Makkah Mukarrama, they used to do tawaf unclothed. And they used to say, how can we do tawaf of the Ka'batullah in clothes in which we have committed sin? So they would remove their clothes and they used to do it absolutely, you know, the way they were born. You know, Madar Zad, we call it Madar Zad Nanga. You know, that is how they used to perform tawaf. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, "An la yatufa bil bayti uryan." There will be no one who will do tawaf of the Baytullah. So, you know, Rasulullah performed hajj in 10 AH, which is called Hajjatul Wada. Now, look at the wa'id and look at the warnings for those individuals that do not perform hajj. And there's one hadith where Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala numa asked the Messenger of Allah, what will obligate hajj upon me? Mere upar hajj kab farz hoga? When will hajj? Rasulullah alayhi salam said, number one, if you have a samane safar, number one. Number two, if you have sawari. That means if you have the mount to reach there, number one. And number two, if you have enough provisions to allow you to go there and leave enough money for the family behind you, then you will have to go for Hajj. In other words, beside your basic needs, if you have enough money to go to Makkah Mukarrama, remember, not Medina Munawwara. So I'm just going to give an example. If you have, let's say example now, mashallah, the cheapest Hajj will cost you about £8,000. Unless you go with Pakistan, then your money is gone. I don't know what happened this year. No, please, no offense to Pakistan. A mistake on the governmental level, and I don't know if you know how many billions of rupees have been lost from the people. Now the Saudi government is saying we're not going to give anything back. The Saudi government are now saying we will not give anything back. What we will do, we will reimburse you for those individuals for the following year. In other words, they will keep the money, they will keep your money, and mashallah, now you have to go the following year. You have to go the following year. So Hajj is something you should not be delaying. Look at the wa'id. Look what Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam says. I'm sorry, I'm just going to go back. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar asked the Messenger of Allah, Messenger of Allah, what will obligate Hajj upon me? And Rasulullah alayhi salam said, if you have a mount, meaning you have the capacity to reach Makkah Mukarramah, number one. And number two, you have enough provisions to undertake that journey and enough money you leave behind for your family behind you who you are supporting. You leave enough money behind for them. Now it will be obligatory upon you to go. Now, you know, if you look at now, the cheapest Hajj is approximately £8,000. Approximately. That will allow you to go to Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, and the 5 days of Hajj, and you are only there for approximately 2 weeks. Approximately 2 weeks. Maximum, you might be there for about 20, 21 days. Now, if you have, let's say, example, you got £7,000, but the Hajj is costing you £8,000 because you're going to Medina Munawwara. Maybe, I don't know, if they give you a package like that, whereby you only, if you only have enough money to go to Makkah Mukarrama, and then you come back after Hajj straight away, and you're not able to go to Medina Munawwara, it doesn't matter, Hajj will become obligatory upon you. Why? Because visiting Medina Munawwara is not compulsory. Yes, alhamdulillah, you should do. Because because of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, من حج فلم يزرني فقد جفاني. أو كما قال عليه السلام. Anyone who comes for Hajj and then does not come to visit the Messenger of Allah in Medina Munawwara, then that individual has done zulm upon the Messenger of Allah. So now look at the wa'id. Someone who has the capacity to go and then he does not go. What did Rasulullah say? That individual can die as a Yahudi or a Nasrani. That individual will either die as a Jew or a Christian. Now, you know, there's a hadith of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar. Hadith of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar. Anyone who had the capacity to go for Hajj, and then he did not go. He did not go. On the day of Qiyamah, he will have inscribed on his forehead the word Kafir. The word Kafir will be inscribed on his forehead. And this is a hadith, if I remember rightly, if I'm not mistaken, this is a hadith mentioned by Allama Jalaluddin Suyuti rahimahullah in Durr Manthur. And then Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar read the ayat of the Quran. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. In other words, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ means anyone who rejects to perform Hajj. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ, in other words, although that is the opinion of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab even used to say, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, and this is mentioned by, if I remember rightly, is mentioned by either Kanzul Ummal, Sheikh Ali Muttaqi, rahimahullah, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab used to say, if anyone dies whilst he was capacitated and he had the ability to go for Hajj, there was nothing to restrict him. So he was aqil, he was baligh, he was Muslim, he had financial capacity, and he had the ability physically to reach Makkah Mukarrama, and then he does not do it. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab is saying, you can take a qasam, and you can say that individual has died either as a Jew or a Christian. That individual has died either as a Jew or a Christian. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to realize, once it is obligatory, you should not delay. Now, some people, mashallah, have lame excuses for not going for Hajj. See, one thing you must remember, it's not your money that will take you to Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Munawwara. It's not your money. It is a tawfiq of Allah. It is a taysir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will have today multi-millionaires and billionaires in the ummah that do not have the tawfiq to go for hajj. What haditha, just a few years ago, someone related this firsthand. He went to visit someone in London who has 50 houses in London. Now just imagine if you have 50 houses in London, you are a multimillionaire. 50 houses. Just imagine the rent he is getting. So he went to visit him in a hospital. And that hadith started crying. He says, why are you crying? Allah has given you so much, why are you crying? He says, I'm crying because until now I have not performed hajj. And you know, a lot of people's excuses, what? Business. We got no one to look after the business. You know, mashallah, you know when someone dies, who's going to look after your business? So this individual starts crying. He starts crying when he says, you got so much money, you can go for hajj. He says, no. Why I'm crying, I've got the money. The doctors have given me 3 months to live because I've got terminal cancer. I've got 3 months to live. And hajj is 6 months away. So there's absolutely no chance I may not go for hajj. It so happened within the 3 months he passed away. You have people in the ummah that have multi-millionaires without the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you know, the desire on your part should also be there to go. Today you have lame excuses. As an ummah, we have so many excuses. You ask a poor man, mashallah, he'll say, Alhamdulillah, I performed 3-4 hajj. I've done 3-4 hajj. You ask a multi-millionaire, he says, I'm still making dua, I've been for umrah, but I've never been for hajj. You see why? Because I can't take out the time from the business. You will find lame excuses. And I'll give you a few of them. Number one, some people will say, Abhi hamare ghar ka mahol achcha nahi hai. The environment at home currently is not conducive. So you know, even if I go for hajj, it's not really going to give me no benefit. But you're not to judge. Who are you to become the judge and the jury in regards to your hajj? Allah Ta'ala has just told you, the hadith is mentioned by Imam Bukhari rahimahullah in Sahih Bukhari from Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar, Buniya al-Islamu ala khams. Shahadati an la ilaha illallah wa iqam salah wa ita'i zakah wa sawmi ramadan wa hajj al-bayt in istata'ta ilayhi sabila. The hadith of the Messenger of Allah, Islam is based on 5 pillars. You've got a central pillar and that is your kalima. That is tawheed. And then you've got 4 on the side. Namaz, ruza, zakat and hajj. If you are not fulfilling your hajj obligation, then your building is crumbling. Okay, it is falling. Your iman, your Islam is not complete. One excuse, we don't have an environment at home. Let me create an environment at home first, and then I'll go for hajj. This is one excuse. Another excuse, abhi to hamari namaz aur roza yehi theek nahi hai, to hajj ko kahan jayenge? You know, it's like some people will say, let us rectify our sawm and our salat. And then inshallah we will go for hajj. Some people will say, kya ek ada karne ke liye hajj ka fariza hi reh gaya hai? The only farz left is only hajj? No, but if it's obligated upon you, you need to go. Some people will say, and this is another excuse as well. Some people will say, I just can't get time away from my business because there is no one that will look after my business. You know, when people die, who looks after their business? You know, we have to realize an obligation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will come first. Some people's excuses, you know, I need to get my daughter married, and once she is married, then I will go for hajj. MashaAllah, today we have daughters who don't get married till 35. You're going to wait till 35? She's 35 years old. What guarantee you have, you are going to find a proposal for your daughter, and she's going to get married at the age of 23. I know individuals who have come to me and say, Malisa, you know, mashallah, they were very particular. They go, we are from India, we are from Pakistan, we are from Bangladesh. Now, the individual that we're looking for, they must be from Karachi. They must be from Lahore. They must be from Baruch. They must be from Sylhet. They must be from Dhaka. They must be from here. You know, they're very, very particular. Now, they've delayed. The daughters are 40 years old. And now you say, Maulana, please bring anyone. It's too late. You know, today, me and you, as parents, we become so stubborn over my dead body if you marry outside your culture. If you marry outside your culture, then I am not your father. That time is gone. The time is gone. You know what I say? If your daughter comes home and says, I want to get married to this man, say, Alhamdulillah. Because tomorrow will come a time, Allah Ta'ala safeguard everyone. Daughters today are coming home and saying, I want to get married to my girlfriend. That time is coming. So, you know, it is high time you have to now leave that. You're lucky if she gets married to a boy. Okay, khair, anyway, some people will say, we are not going for Hajj until when? Until our daughter is married. You know, you have so many excuses. Some people, they don't go for Hajj. You know why? Because my parents have not yet done Hajj. So what can I do? How can I go for Hajj whilst my parents have not gone for Hajj? No. Your obligation is your obligation. Some people will not go for Hajj. You know why? Because when I get married, I don't know who I'm going to get married to. I'm going to have a wife and then I'll have to take her again. I'd rather take her one go. Now, what guarantee you have you are going to live and then you're going to have a wife and maybe, mashallah, when she comes, she's already performed Hajj. You know, so there are so many lame excuses. Everything is put to one side. Everything is put to one side because of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, where Rasulullah said, if you don't have an oppressive king that is preventing you from reaching Makkah Mukarramah, number one. Number two, you don't have an illness that prevents you from traveling. You don't have anything and you don't have, so you are absolutely healthy. There is no external factor. And then you do not perform Hajj. Then it does not make a difference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You die as a Yahud or you die amongst the Nasara. So inshallah, you know, if Hajj has been made obligatory, make your intention as soon as you possibly can. As soon as you possibly can. Rasulullah said, you know, a lot of people say, when I get married, that is when, inshallah, I will go for Hajj. What did Rasulullah say? Rasulullah says, Hajj comes before nikah. Hajj comes before nikah. In other words, if people are delaying because of that reason, that is not a reason. So inshallah, if it is obligated on you, on your first opportunity, try and go. Because you never know. Health is not permanent. Money is also not permanent. How many people are multimillionaires one day and tomorrow they can become paupers and they can become, you know, what happened in India during the time of the earthquake or during the time of tsunami, multimillionaires they were goldsmiths. And you know, goldsmiths, they have a lot of gold. Okay, those individuals were begging on the streets because they had absolutely nothing left. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq, inshallah. I was meant to mention something else as well, inshallah, and that is in regards to the situation of Palestine. Every single Jumu'ah, I feel we should say at least something about Palestine. We cannot forget the issue in regards to Palestine. But the one thing, inshallah, just remember, inshallah, a lot of people are questioning, where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Palestine? A lot of people are asking, why is Allah Ta'ala allowing what is happening in Palestine? Why is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala allowing this to happen? If you get a chance, please, if you get a chance, read Surah Al Imran, Juz number 4, Para number 4, Ayat number 100 and 440, where Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions about 5 to 6 reasons why these things happen. And then you got another ayat of the Quran, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Whatever happens by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the other thing, فِعْلُ الْحَكِيمِ لَا يَخْلُوا عَنِ الْحِكْمَةِ. How many times do you read in the Quran, وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. Allah is most powerful and Allah ta'ala is the most wise. And we don't have the capacity to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, why did you allow this to happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَى. Allah wants to make many of you martyrs. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah wants to know and Allah ta'ala wants to see who is going to pass the test. And for that reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given in Palestine what they are going through. And for me and you, that is a trial. Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. وَسَلَّى عَلَىٰ خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ مُحَمَّدُ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ اجْمَعِينَ.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, inshallah, just a few announcements, inshallah. There is a request for dua for Malik Sab, who is very, very unwell, is in hospital, diagnosed with a severe illness. So he's very, very unwell. Just make dua for him, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him relief. May Allah grant him whatever is best for him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant patience and sabr to the family. There is also a brother in Newham General Hospital, Brother Yaqub. You know, mashallah, this is a situation of life. Zindagi ka koi bharosa nahi hai. We can be walking and we can be gone. The other day, last weekend, on Monday, in Forest Gate, there's one African lady who is walking along. Now, she's walking along on the road and she collapses. 7 ambulances turn up and they've pronounced her dead on the spot. On the spot. She's walking absolutely fine. She had a massive heart attack and she passed away. Well, there's one Haji Sahib is just in Newham General Hospital. He was taken in for an infection. So they kept him in hospital for 1-2 weeks. And then they were about to discharge him and suddenly he's got a brain hemorrhage whilst he's in hospital. They put him into an induced coma and then now they've said he's brain dead. So there's absolutely nothing we can do. They're switching off the machine today after Jumu'ah, they're switching off the machine. And they're saying maybe he has a chance of approximately maybe half an hour survival time. So he's breathing. He's breathing independently, but brain is absolutely dead. So you do not know what can happen, where it can happen. So inshallah, we just make dua all the time. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min al-junoon wal-judam wal-baras wa sayyi'il asqam. Try and always make that dua. You are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, make it so I never become insane. Oh Allah, I never become a leper min al-junoon wal-judam wal-baras. And then wa sayyi'il asqam. From illnesses that are detrimental and dangerous, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to safeguard you from those illnesses. So there's zindagi ka koi koi bharosa nahi. Inshallah, you make dua for all of them, inshallah. And the other announcement, Brother Abdul Khaliq has put it on the group, there is a lot of unclaimed items, it's not 50 pound notes. There's a lot of unclaimed items of children. There's a jubba, there's a jacket. So there's a lot of things lying around. If it belongs to anyone, please, if you can just come and claim it. Otherwise, after 7 days, it will have to go into charity. So, inshallah, and please make dua for our brothers and sisters, inshallah, in Palestine, especially in Sudan, in Yemen, and now in Pakistan as well, and India as well, in the Kashmir area.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي جعل البيت العتيق مثابة للناس وأمنا وأكرمه بالنسبة إلى نفسه تشريفا وتحسينا ومنا ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله نبي الرحمة وسيد الأمة صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه قادة الحق وسادة الخلق وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فقد حان أشهر الحج التي قال الله تعالى فيها الحج أشهر معلومات وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في قوله الحج أشهر معلومات شوال وذو القعدة وذو الحجة وقال عليه السلام وقال الله تعالى في الحج ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام من حج لله فلم يرفث ولم يفسق رجع كيوم ولدته أمه وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام من لم يمنعه من الحج حاجة ظاهرة أو سلطان جائر أو مرض حابس فمات ولم يحج فليمت إن شاء يهوديا وإن شاء نصرانيا قال عليه الصلاة والسلام تابعوا بين الحج والأمرة فإنهما ينفيان الفقر والذنوب ومن مكملات الحج والحج زيارة سيد القبور لسيد أهل القبور وورد في فضلها السنن إسناد بعدها حسن كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام من زار قبري وجبت له شفاعتي وأنا أنبئكم بأمر يهمكم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأذن في الناس بالحج يأتوك رجالا وعلى كل ضامر يأتين من كل فج عميق بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا بآيات وذكر الحكيم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصهما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيد شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله اللهم اغفر للأباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون Please straighten your rows, fill all the gaps, and please make sure your mobiles are on silent.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله الله أكبر الله الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الله استغفر استغفر استغفر. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذ سنة ولا الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدين والدنيا والآخرة. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون. السلام على المرسلين. الحمد لله رب العالمين.